Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second episode of the podcast. First episode of the new name, Big Screen Small Talk. I am Anthony Mottola.
I'm Ryan Waltz.
And before we get started today, we just want to give a quick thank you to everybody who took the time out to listen to the marathon episode of our very first podcast, which was
our all-time top 10.
All-time top 10, and it was just we got a much bigger response than I think we were both hoping for, we both expected. So
yeah, I'm shocked at how many people actually sat down and listened to 2 hours of us talking,
just jabbering on about movies, our favorite movies.
Yeah,
but
we're gonna try and keep these next episodes shorter.
Yeah, much shorter. that 2 hours is it's a marathon. But you know, we appreciate everybody who did take the time out to listen and like us on our Facebook page and went and followed us on our Twitter page. And you know, it's we're humbled, so we appreciate it, and we hope you guys are gonna keep listening because we got a lot of good stuff coming up for you.
And thank you.
Like, yeah, thanks a lot. Just keep listening, keep on keeping on. So,
in today's episode, we are doing Captain America: The Winter Soldier,
which I've been dying to talk to you about.
So, yesterday, last, like, 12 hours. Yesterday, the movie was released. Anthony went and saw it at 2 o'clock.
Yep.
I went and saw it at 8:30,
yep.
And I forbidden.
Yeah, no, you pretty much forbade us to talk about it.
I was like, forbidden?
You yelled at me. I texted you that it was great, and you were like, I don't want to know that.
I forbid him from talking about the movie at all, so we could have this conversation today be completely...
It's off the cuff. This is the first conversation that we are legitimately having about The Winter Soldier.
Okay, so first question is... Rating the film on a scale of a superhero movie, zero being Elektra,
okay,
10 being Avengers.
The Avengers, really? That's not my 10.
Okay, well, that's what the average public would call the 10.
Okay.
It's the highest grossing film.
Well, I don't go by money.
Oh, I go by money.
Me as the Dark Knight would be my 10.
Rises?
No, the second one.
Really?
Yep. That to me is the ultimate.
That's a totally different podcast.
That's the ultimate comic book movie. But when I got out of the movie, I said, this is the best Marvel movie, I think, hands down. I don't think anything that Marvel has put out touches this film. And I think it's for me personally, it's the best comic book movie since The Dark Knight.
I can't agree with the Dark Knight thing, but it's the best Marvel movie. It blew me. I can see most of their movies for me don't have rewatch value. I mean, I can watch them if somebody hasn't seen them.
Yeah.
But to sit down and just rewatch them over and over, I don't feel like that. But this movie, I could see.
There's a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff going on in this movie, and there's a lot of stuff that I feel like I may have missed as well. You know, I'm sure there were a bunch of Easter eggs.
Oh yeah, I have a. Well, we have.
Oh, you took it
on my notes here. I have Easter eggs for you.
I liked it because it wasn't your typical Marvel superhero movie.
It had like this really cool spy espionage.
There was a real world feel to it.
Yeah, it was a superhero in a real world. And that's what Cap is, I guess, if you want to think of it that way.
It was I liked it. It wasn't very funny, which Marvel I feel tends to go a little overboard with on some of the movies, especially some of the newer ones.
It had its lines. It had a couple lines.
Scarlett Johansson. She was the I feel like everything she said was a one-liner, was a zinger.
A little quip.
Yeah, you know, and this is the first movie where, me anyway, she bothered me a little bit. Not enough, but I was like, all right, enough. You know, say something that's got some meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris Evans has fit very nicely into Steve Rogers. I didn't like the cast originally,
mm-hmm.
and I was so-so with him in the first movie, and I thought he really became Captain America in the Avengers, and it's nice to see the evolution of him anyway, you know, becoming more comfortable playing Steve Rogers, playing this character. And I was blown away by the movie. Like, I want to go see it again.
Yeah, I'll go see it. I'd like to see it 2 more times, to be 100% honest.
Yeah.
It's that good.
I can't wait for the Blu-ray to come out. So, I guess we should let everybody know who's listening to this that hasn't seen this.
The spoilers.
Spoiler heavy. Spoiler alert. So
we are going to talk about the movie, everything and anything.
Yeah, ad nauseum. So, just if you're not interested, don't shut us off. Leave us on. Just put the mute on and then listen to us. Go back and listen to it again after you see the film.
Yep.
So you go ahead. With the movie starts off.
Opening scene is Cap and Falcon meeting.
On your left.
On your left, and it comes back later. But there's not really much to that scene other than when he opens up his little notebook to write down things that he has.
I thought that was hysterical. Rocky,
did you see
Rocky
Star
II?
Trek or Star Wars?
No.
It said Star Wars / Trek. And he had,
I didn't notice
and he
that.
Had Star Wars crossed off, but Trek wasn't.
Really?
Yep.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know.
That's weird, especially since Disney owns Marvel and now they own Star Wars, you would figure. Unless he's watched Star Wars.
No,
and hasn't
yeah,
watched
he's
Star
watched
Trek.
Star Wars. It's crossed off the list because he'd watched
it. I noticed Rocky. Rocky and then Rocky 2? There was a couple things. I thought that was cool, but I'd like to pause that. Like when the movie comes out on Blu-ray,
yeah,
you can read everything.
Yeah. Then that opening scene with Captain America taking the ship was incredible.
The action, the fight sequence. Did you notice that the guy who played Batroc was George St. Pierre?
Yeah, he was a UFC fighter.
Oh, yeah.
GSP. But no, him taking that ship, I could not believe the things they were showing.
By himself. He was, yeah, when he stabbed that guy through the hand, there was when you watch those movies, like, there's stuff they leave out. Because, I mean, they are geared towards children. It's about a 50-50,
so,
yeah.
You know.
So there every once in a while there's a couple of things, and that was one of the first things I noticed. Like, oh man, I was like, they kind of showed it. There's no blood, but I mean, they showed
that one dude in the chest. There's no way he survived that.
And the shield play was incredible. The shield just bouncing off the walls. That was a really good
and
fight
scene. And that whole
scene,
like, besides the shield flying around, I forgot that was a Disney movie. I forgot it was a superhero movie because it felt like the beginning of Under Siege 4 or something.
Yeah,
you know
it was
mean?
Like a Die Hard esque. You know, it's a perfect movie, man. It's a really good. It's really, really good.
And
the fight scenes were great.
The body count alone, staggering in this
movie.
Yeah, they throughout the whole film, but I mean, it really starts with this scene.
But that's what Disney does, though. Like, they have the big body counts, but you don't see any blood. You know, you don't see anybody getting shot. Every once in a while, like I said, with that hand, you know, they threw that in there. But what, as far as graphic-wise, there wasn't too much.
Yeah.
But the fight scenes, that fight scene with him and Batroc, am I saying his name right?
Batroc, yeah.
Batroc. Is he a character from the comic book?
Yes, he's actually a villain. He's one of Captain America's villains.
Okay.
And that was one point I wanted to bring up is how excellent that was for them to bring a lesser-known villain in just for that scene. Like, he...
Well, do you think he might end up... Because, I mean, he didn't die.
No, he's captured,
they
though.
Said he got captured, yeah, later on in the film. They mentioned that.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he's going to maybe come back and play a role in... Cause they've already greenlit Captain America 3.
Which we will get to. That, I want to talk about that a lot.
They led into it with this movie.
Yeah. But yeah, Batroc the Leaper is his name, and he is a French kickboxer villain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good, perfect cast, then, I'll say.
That's what he is.
Wow.
And they just, what a great use of a small villain. A villain who would never, ever get his own movie. A villain who could never be taken seriously in a cinematic world.
Mm-hmm.
But what a great use for him. And his line when he's like, I thought you were just a shield or something like that.
Yeah, I thought you were more than the shield.
And he drops the shield, and then they
I was like,
here
we go,
combat.
It's on.
I'm just like, oh,
and
God.
He beat the shit out of him. He beat the shit out of him. When he kips up from his back, I was like, oh, he's so awesome. I want the suit. I loved it.
Yeah, his new suit. Let's talk about that. He had a different Captain America suit.
I kind of like the suit from the first movie better, personally.
From the one he puts on at the end?
At the end of this movie, yeah, the one that he goes and he takes from the Smithsonian.
Well, I mean, this was in the Winter Soldier book. That was the suit he wears.
Okay. Well, I'm not as familiar with the comic books as Ryan is.
I have a remedial comic book.
You have? I would say you have more of a remedial knowledge of the books. My comic book knowledge is from Wikipedia and overhearing Ryan's conversations. But I appreciate that if that's what his the suit looked like during the arc of that story, then I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they even they threw out a special thanks to the man who created Winter Soldier in this, Ed Brubaker.
Oh, really?
At the end of the credits, yeah, they said a special thanks to Ed Brubaker because he was the one who wanted they gave him the they let him come back to do Captain America. And he was like, Bucky's my favorite. I'm going to bring him back. And he wrote Winter Soldier.
Oh, is that where Okay. So Bucky had been dead, as far as the comic books were concerned, for, like, decades?
For a while, yeah.
Wow, and this guy just said, I want to bring him back, and that's pretty
neat. As far
as
I know, that's what I've heard on, you know, through different channels.
See, there's something else that I want to get into, but I feel like we have to work our way through the movie first, because, like, yeah. There's things I remember from conversations that we've had,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, oh, man, I remember Ryan saying something about that, and I couldn't quite place it or whatever, but I would like to talk about the car scene with Nick Fury.
We're missing a scene before that.
Which is...
when he meets Agent Carter as an old woman.
Yeah, that was a little... That
and
was...
let me tell you...
tugging on the heartstrings there.
I was not happy when
Why?
I saw that. Because it was sad. I was,
oh,
that,
all
I was
right.
that upset.
Well, that's
like,
the point.
I know, but she's in bed and she's talking to him about how she helped create S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Well, he hints that she was one of the founding
yeah.
members of S.H.I.E.L.D. And, you know, and then she coughs and
she forgets him. It was
she
like the
forgets
notebook.
Him. She obviously has some kind of dementia or something along those lines. And then she starts crying because she
came
sees,
back to me.
And he says, of course, I came back for my best girl. I still owe you that dance or something along those lines. And I'm getting goosebumps saying that.
Yeah,
out loud.
It was sad. I was upset when I saw that. I didn't think they were going to have her in the movie at all.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, well they. She's going to, I think, play a part. Because they were talking about giving her own TV
getting a
show.
Series, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they got to keep it going. And I'm pretty sure Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week is going to be a direct link to Winter Soldier.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to have to start watching that show again?
I
really don't like it.
I kept it up. If you get to the episode where they finally reveal what Coulson is,
can I just start from that episode? Because
yeah.
I feel
yeah,
like nothing was happening. I watched about 6 or 7. And I was like, this is garbage. It's not even
I'd
worth
start
watching.
From like episode 8.
Okay. Yeah, that was a very, very sad sequence in the film.
On another, do you remember Agent 13? His
yes.
neighbor / S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who was
yeah.
there to protect him? That is her niece.
Wait, what? Now, wait, did they...
In the
did I miss that in the movie? Or
in the comics, no, you didn't miss it.
They didn't mention
they
that
didn't,
in the
they
movie.
They didn't really do much with her, which I was pretty upset about.
See, I wasn't too... but, I mean, you again, knowing the comic book... I could see where you would be upset. I wasn't too upset, but I didn't know that she had some kind of relation to...
Agent 13 is a descendant of Peggy Carter. Depending
okay.
on which incarnation of the book you read, it differentiates what she is. Sometimes she's a younger sister, sometimes she's a niece.
Oh, really? They change it up like that much?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been 50 years.
Yeah, it's true.
At one point, younger sister worked.
Yeah. And she bothered me a little bit, that girl. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Really? She only
yeah,
has, like, two scenes.
I know. I didn't think... but a movie like that, I want everything in the movie to be relevant. And I guess she's gonna be... She didn't die. She's gonna
be
around.
She will
be
Captain America's love interest.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I felt like they were teasing some kind of love interest between him and the Black Widow a little bit. There was a weird... tension. I felt like she was kind of throwing herself at him a couple of times.
Well, I know that in the books, Winter Soldier and Black Widow are an item.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. I wouldn't have seen that coming at all. I wouldn't have seen that coming at all. That's strange.
Well, they're both Russian.
What does that mean? She's not Russian.
She's a Soviet.
But
and so is he.
He's not.
Yes, he is.
He is now, but not, he's from Brooklyn. Bucky's not a Russian.
Okay, that's fair.
Right?
He's got the red star on him, though.
Because the Russians made him. It's like Drago. He's like a mechanical Drago. Oh, you never seen Rocky IV?
No.
Oh, man. I will crush you.
Oh, well, I know that. Obviously,
yeah.
I know that.
But he's not Russian. And I mean, I guess, yeah, she's Natasha Romanoff. But I don't know. She never speaks with a Russian accent, ever. Ever.
I don't know about that.
Not in the movies.
Probably because Scarlett Johansson can't do it.
Yeah, that's probably it. With that raspy voice of hers.
Okay. Well, then let's talk about the car scene with Nick Fury.
Which was one of the better car chase sequences I've seen in a really long time.
Yeah, it was. And it was so... most of the time you see a car chase scene, they're not really hitting much.
No, they hit everything.
They hit... He was squeezing between
I'm
two
going
cars,
through traffic.
Pushing them.
There's
like,
cars in the way. I don't give a shit. I got to get away from these guys.
Yeah, it was real. pull out that battering ram to like hit his window.
Yeah, 1% window. That was crazy. That I was like, what the hell is he doing? Why is they ejecting him? And then the gun pops out and he just opens fire. I was like, I want these cars so bad. But I mean, again, and another, it's an emotional scene because the whole time, not knowing the comic, I don't know what they're going to do. And I know from watching these comic book movies and then talking to people like you who are interested in them that they don't necessarily follow the book to the T, so they're not afraid to kill off characters or do stuff that's not in the book to rewrite a mythology. So I was worried that, I'm like, this looks like he's going to fucking die. I'm like, what the hell are they going to do with him? How could they do that? And I knew that his contract is coming up, Sam Jackson. Uh-huh. He's fulfilled his obligation to them.
Mm-hmm. Let's be real. Did anyone actually believe that Nick Fury was dead in this movie?
No. When he died, I was like, well, he's going to... I kind of figured he was going to come back.
I figured... Like, I called... He faked his death to do that. Like, obviously...
Yeah.
That's a Nick Fury move.
Yeah.
And they didn't spend enough time mourning Nick Fury for me to actually believe he was dead.
I was surprised that they didn't do, like, a funeral or something, just mm-hmm. be at the... Like a Hellboy type of deal,
First Easter egg.
Okay.
On Nick Fury's tombstone.
At the end of the movie.
At the end of the movie, but we can talk about it now.
Yeah.
It says, "The path of a righteous man," Ezekiel 25:17.
Does it really?
Which is a reference to Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction, no shit.
Yep.
Get out of here. I'm so mad that I missed that.
Yep.
The path of the righteous man is beset on both sides. Get out of here.
Yep, says it on his tombstone.
How the hell did you... Did you look that up or you caught it?
That one I looked up.
All right.
That's not something you catch first viewing.
No. I didn't even know... All I saw that was... I didn't realize his middle initial was J. Because he said it like 15 times. Fury, yeah. Nicholas J. Fury, Nicholas J.
Yeah, so like 12 times at the beginning of the movie.
Wow, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, but I felt like that's the best...
That's a cool
anytime
little
you get an Easter egg that's outside of the Marvel Universe, that's...
Oh, yeah. It's rare, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, after the car chase scene...
Well, that's the first time you meet the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Who, I mean...
Which you see in the commercial, but it's... Once
I
you
loved
see...
the way they pieced the trailer together.
Yeah.
Because it was totally... Like, I thought there was a bunch of misdirection in that stuff, because...
Oh, my God. In the beginning of the trailer, when he jumps out of that plane,
yep.
It's daytime in the trailer. Mm-hmm. But in the movie, it's nighttime, yep. And it's... So, I was watching, I was like, man, those bastards, they got me.
There were lines in the trailer that, as I'm watching it, like you try and piece together the movie, like in the order that it's going to happen. And there was stuff I'm like, well, this is the middle of the movie. This is the beginning. And they really did a hell of a job of not telling you a lot of the story, but not telling you a lot of the story in the same way. Mm-hmm. They didn't tell you nothing was in chronological order in that thing. They held the Winter Soldier back, I think. They showed him like two or three times in the trailer. And again, it was like out of context, which was I thought was great. The misdirection was good, because I went in and sometimes you watch a trailer and you're like, I think they showed me the whole freaking movie,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't get that with this one. They did a good job with marketing it, but the Winter Soldier, like from the word go, is badass. Yeah,
I didn't like his mask, but I understand why they had to use
it. But I mean, that wasn't they, what
they,
did you
they
want?
They were saving Bucky's face for
well for the big reveal with Steve. Yeah,
yeah.
But
I honestly would like the bandana.
Is that what it was in the book?
Oh. I have no idea. But honestly, that's more like ragtime.
When Nick Fury's coming up to him and you just see him standing in the middle of traffic was like, I was fucking
because he can't see right away and like the glass
is
all shot.
Somebody? Up. Am I dead? Like,
and then all of a sudden he's just standing there. He shoots the thing. The car flips over. He just takes one step out of the way. It's all in the trailer, but still, in context of the film, it was even better.
Because that scene was epic.
Yeah.
The way the trailer made it seem was like, there he is, boom, boom, and it's done. But, I mean, it was a good 10 minutes of
lead-in
of a
time.
Scene, yeah.
And also, that was at the point in the car chase when Nick Fury thought he was getting away.
Yeah.
He's like,
wait a second.
Yeah, he's like, good. I lost those last two cars. Okay, I'm scot-free.
I got a disc bomb for you. Yeah.
And then, boom. Oh, okay. Hold on. One problem I had with the movie, and they used it twice.
Why?
When Nick Fury flips in the car,
mm-hmm.
and he gets away, he uses like a laser knife and
cuts. I didn't understand. It's like he dug to China.
I assume there was a sewer under there that he cut a hole.
Well, China sounds funnier.
In the earth and got into the sewer.
Yeah, he heated up the cement and cut, I guess. What? He's Nick Fury. He's only got one eye. You'd figure it'd be all kind of cockeyed and shit. It's
depth perception.
It's all off. Can't draw a straight line. But yeah, I thought that was a little. I thought it was strange too. I agree with you there. I definitely thought that was a little strange because like, how do you melt cement and all of that stuff? He was just gone.
I just realized I did a facial. I was like, and then I was like, and everybody out there in YouTube land's like, what was he like?
Imagine what Ryan's face was.
It was really inquisitive.
Yeah, he was thinking very hard. Might have been taking a shit.
I was like, what was that?
But yeah, I thought that was a little that weird.
Probably, and to be fair, if that's the only thing that takes me out of the movie.
I'll take it. I felt like that thing that he used was kind of similar to what Alexander Pierce used towards the end of the movie, like the pin that he gave all the heads of the council.
Well, they use it again when Maria Hill saves...
Yeah, she got away with that too, didn't she?
Yeah, she does the exact same thing. They cut a hole in the bottom of the truck, which is at least more believable than...
Than the concrete in the city.
Into a sewer. How long was this night?
He's not Andy Dufresne.
I don't understand what's happening.
Nick Fury.
Okay, next scene. Steve Rogers comes home.
And Nick Fury is... this is when he meets Agent 13.
This is when... this is the
first time we meet her anyway.
First introduction of Agent 13, and she just seems like a harmless...
She shoots him down and simultaneously doesn't shut the door for them going out in the same sentence. He's like, so I was like, wait a second.
Do you want to have a cup of coffee? She's like, no, I don't want to have a cup of coffee.
No, it'll cost you a cup. I thought that was really smooth. How much is the laundry going to cost? Just a cup of coffee.
It's a smooth operator.
Yeah, Steve Rogers.
Since when? Hold on. Why does Steve Rogers live in an apartment building, one?
Yeah, you figure S.H.I.E.L.D. would want to keep him close.
Yeah, I'd imagine him living in a barracks or at least have enough cash flow to...
have a house.
Have something nice.
He saved the world a couple months
ago. And he's the only tenant in this building who has his own washer and dryer.
Yeah. Captain America. He's the only one who can lug it up himself.
They want to walk downstairs. He should be doing everybody else's laundry up and down this fucking steps.
I got it. On your left. But and then she said, you left stereo on.
Mm-hmm.
And then he climbs in through the window.
Because he assumed. Yeah. Which was really cool.
I thought that was cool. Smart move. Yeah.
Smart move. And then Nick Fury's sitting there. He's
all shot up. He's all battle weary.
He warns Captain America, and then he gets shot by the Winter Soldier through the wall.
Which was nuts.
That was one of my problems with the Winter Soldier, because he's supposed to be like this great sniper. That's what Bucky was.
Yeah.
And they didn't use that once.
No, they mentioned that he was an assassin and he assassinated 12 people, but they didn't...
They didn't really mention the...
I feel like this was the build to this Winter Soldier character, though, as we get as we move further along with the conversation. Nick Fury was giving him little instructions on his cell phone. There's eyes everywhere. There's ears everywhere. Can't talk here. And the Winter Soldier, as you said, shoots.
And then that's when Agent 13 runs in.
And reveals herself to be...
A S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, yeah.
And then where Captain America now has his first interaction with the Winter Soldier. Because he goes chasing him.
Oh, that was sweet, too. He was running.
Just running through every fucking wall he could find. Mm-hmm. Was incredible.
And again, in the trailer, you just see the last part where he jumps through the window.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, oh, well. But no, he runs through a whole building. He breaks doors.
Oh, yeah. Goes through concrete, went through brick.
He has to take that turn, and he runs into the wall, mm-hmm. and then,
And it hits, there's the big indent of the shield on the wall. And then when he throws the shield, and then with the soldier's like, bink, got it, flicks it back like it's a fucking frisbee. It was incredible. And, I mean, it looked like it hurt Captain America a little bit when he caught it with the two hands.
Well, he had the robotic, or the cybernetic arm, I don't know.
That's the other thing. I want to know what that arm is made out of. Because, I mean, there was electricity and shit going through there at
times. I'm sure it's the same thing made out of the shield.
Oh, so cool.
That's the only way the shield, he could have caught it, I guess.
Him catching that with the one hand, I mean, it's such a cool image, you know?
When I went to see, I want to say it's Man of Steel.
Love that movie.
There's three kids sitting in front of me. And the trailer came on, and that part happens, and the little kid just goes, oh my God, no one's ever caught Captain America's shield before.
Only been one movie, jerk. That was a cool scene. So where do we go from here now? Have we met Alexander Pierce at this point yet?
Well, yes, we have, because Nick Fury and him talk, I believe. But then this is when Captain America goes to speak to him.
This was after Nick Fury has supposedly
died.
Died.
And then, hold on,
We missed the Operation
The vending
Insight.
Machine. The vending machine.
What with the what he put in there, like the, yeah. the USB port or whatever. The,
yeah, we're
the
missing
flash
a lot of
drive.
Plot points. Holy hell.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about how.
Well, I guess it's good if we miss a little bit. We don't need to be spoiling everything.
Okay, well, there's a device that I. This is one of the other problems I had with the movie. He's standing next to that vending machine. I'm like, wait a minute. Is that the Winter Soldier working on that vending machine? I was like, this is going. Because they kind of like. They tilt
it
towards
like,
it.
Yeah.
And then you see he puts this this thing that Nick Fury said, trust no one.
Yeah.
Save this. Like,
and
don't let
it. He puts it in the vending machine.
He puts it
like,
in the vending. Behind like three pieces of gum.
I was
going to
say, yeah. Like,
three packs.
Why
like,
not pick something that was full that nobody uses?
Yeah, pick the one that had like dust on the bag.
Yeah,
so, like,
it's Doritos where everybody eats Doritos. Yeah, I thought
so
that was. But how did he get it in there too? That was the other.
It
thing.
Was open. He probably.
Oh,
just,
was it
was,
open?
The dude was working
that.
On it, so he's just like boop.
Okay.
And then the dude shuts it, closes it, blah blah blah. He gets called to see Alexander Pierce.
He probably still doesn't know how to use a vending machine. They didn't have many of them back in the '50s, the '40s.
Like, what is this? What is this? He sounds thing? Like Thor. What is this device?
I love it. I'll have another. And now we meet Robert Redford, Academy Award winning, one of the greatest actors ever.
I thought he was great.
I thought he was very good. Played a very good villain.
Pierce, yeah.
Played a very, very good villain. And, yeah, he starts... Well, he tells Captain America, which I think is one of the iconic lines from the trailer anyway, you know, in order to start something, you got to break things down. I'm
what I love at the end of the conversation they have, and Captain America says... Nick Fury told me to trust no one. That was his last words, and he begins to walk out of the room. And Robert Redford's character says something along the lines of, well, someone killed my friend, and anyone who gets in the way of that, you know...
Is going to have to deal with it, have to suffer.
He's going to have to, yeah. And Captain America just goes, understood. I wish he would have said something and goes, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Or something, you know what I mean?
Like, I'm on to you, guy.
Or, you know, that same goes for me.
Yeah.
Something... That put them on the same page.
And then, well, after that meeting, that's the
elevator scene,
which was better than I could have imagined. You know, cause
again,
because
they show you it in the trailer,
but they show you the very end, that kick flip with the fucking shield when he just kicks it back up into his hands. But that whole scene was great.
Yeah, because like first two people get in, and then like it's building, and then like three
I
other
like
people
him
get in.
Why he knew from Jump Street that he's like this something's not happening. I'm gonna have to break my way out of this elevator, and he's just watching everybody coming in. The guy had his hand on his gun, and then the other people came.
He's
so
sweating.
Smart. Yeah,
this guy.
Yeah, the little bead of sweat coming off that guy's his forehead.
Mm-hmm.
He knew it right away, and that was great. I liked how he got his when they
tried to handcuff him using magnets.
Yeah, magnetic briefcase handle. He pulled it right off the top.
Yeah, and you know he had to use like his whole body. A
lot of use of the cattle prod in this movie too.
Yeah,
I noticed there was a lot of it.
I just love the thought. I love picturing the scene prior to this that they don't show where they're like, oh, they're like, we need to take down Captain America, and they're like, well, we're gonna need at least 12 people.
Yeah, at least
in a confined
a
space.
Cattle prod and some magnetic handcuffs.
Yeah, and they're like, well, maybe. And they bring like the, and then he cuts the line for the elevator. It falls. They're already at the next floor, and they're like, he's got nowhere to go.
And except where does he go? Out the window.
He jumps out the window, drops like 20 floors.
Yeah, lands on
glass.
The shield. And then he gets on the motorcycle.
Oh, and then this scene, I still don't know how I feel about this. When he takes down the helicopter with the shield,
it
was a comic.
It looked awesome. It was straight from the pages of a comic book. Because there's no possible way that could happen in real life. Like, John McClane's not doing that. There's no stupid action star that would attempt that in a movie.
But what I love is they show, like, the spikes coming up. So
yeah.
He can't get by. So he takes down the helicopter. He still can't get by. He's just driving later.
He never got... Well, did he end up getting back? I was waiting for him to do like to be flipping over the plane... And then land back on the motorcycle. I was waiting for that to happen and keep going. Like, they just ghost rode the motorcycle.
I like that because they showed him jumping on it. And I was like, it's going to be one smooth motion where he jumps on the plane, grabs his shield, jumps off or something like that. And he didn't. He was up there. He was, like, riding it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, grabbed the shield.
Took the shield, hit it off the two, I don't even know what you would call them, the fins.
Yeah.
Of the back. Bing, bing. He pinballed it off of there.
Mm-hmm.
That was a cool scene. It looked really cool. But, yeah, totally...
Totally straight out of a...
It would never happen. There's no
looks
no
more
way.
Like a video game than a comic. Yeah. I can't even picture that happening in a comic.
But, I mean, you suspend reality for that stuff.
Yeah.
You know? We're talking about superheroes.
Yeah, we're talking about super soldier serums.
Yeah.
And other alliterations of that form.
So now Captain America is...
on the lam.
On the lam. America's Most Wanted. And...
he goes back to get the USB device, and there's Scarlett Johansson chewing bubble gum.
Of course.
Which I thought was adorable.
Yeah.
And then one of the jokes of the movie... where she shows the scar where she got shot by the Winter Soldier.
Bye bye bikini.
And she says bye bye bikini. He says, "Yeah, I'm sure you look terrible in a bikini now."
He's so cute. He's adorable. Forget about Scarlett. And then
they go to the mall.
Yeah, and the guys are looking for him. And
then they go to Falcon.
They share a kiss.
Yeah, they share a kiss.
They share a kiss on the escalator. And then she makes fun of him. Is that the first time you've kissed anyone?
1945. Well, that bad,
it's
that huh?
bad? Yeah. No, it wasn't that bad. It's not the first time I've kissed anybody.
You know he wasn't getting kisses as scrawny.
No. No, not at all.
Captain America.
Carter didn't want anything to do with him until he got all beefy and jacked up.
Still one of my favorite scenes where she touches him for the first time.
Yeah.
She's like, ooh.
And they kiss on the escalator, and mm-hmm. then they head to where he was trained?
No. First they...
That's a little bit later?
Oh, no, you're right, you're right. They do head to where he was trained.
They head to the base that he was trained.
Yeah, because they get the information off the drive that it was in Haverford, New Jersey, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, where he was trained. I loved the shots of the base from the first film.
Uh-huh.
They stop, they look at the pole... that he got
and they had
from.
Like the ghost, like they showed, like he was having the memories of when he was running around and stuff,
and him and his former self stop and look at each other.
Yeah.
And then they show like the exact same room, I imagine they just put some dust in there.
Yeah.
From where Howard and Agent Carter, where he first gets his shield, mm-hmm. that same room.
When Agent Carter said she was married, did she marry Howard Stark? I felt like they kind of alluded. They were alluding to that anyway. Like, I thought that was strange.
I can't imagine.
The pictures that were on the wall in the base was Howard Stark and Tommy Lee Jones' character and Agent Carter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I guess that was, like, the beginnings of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's where it started. Because you saw the logo on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then we meet the computer doctor, Arnim Zola, which I was kind of geeking out a little bit. Because I remember you... Doesn't he have a name? No.
I don't know. I don't know what the name is. See, Remedial. Remedial well, see, superhero knowledge.
I thought we had had that conversation that he ended up playing... He played a role in the comic books as this computer. Unless maybe I read it on Wikipedia. Because I remember seeing that, like, a piece of the comic book with his face in the computer. And I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool. Where he basically says that S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't... who we think they are. The people running S.H.I.E.L.D. in the country aren't who we think they are, and S.H.I.E.L.D. turns out to be Hydra.
Yep. Well, it's being ran by Hydra.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because Pierce is a Hydra agent.
Pierce seemed to be the one head. Yeah. He was, you know, the new, we cut one head off and two more grow in its place.
Correct.
Which I thought was kind of, I was like, oh my God, this is pretty cool. They're bringing this back. I thought that was really cool. It was good storytelling. And then where do we go from there?
Well, then they blow up the base trying to kill Captain America. He survives.
Of course.
And then they go to meet the Falcon.
At the hospital, right?
No, they meet Falcon at his house because they need a place to hide. That's right. He tells them about
the
Project
suit,
Falcon.
Which looked so cool.
And he's like, it's behind three armed guards and a 12-inch plate of steel or something like that.
They didn't
like,
show
yeah, no
him
problem.
Going getting it, though.
Good.
He just had it.
It was a two-hour movie.
Yeah, but it didn't. It wasn't very long. I mean, I didn't think it didn't feel long.
Well, that's because you were excited to see it, but it's a long. I got there at 8:30. I got out at 11.
Yeah.
It was done at 11.
Yeah.
Well, then again, that's a half hour preview.
Trailer.
Too.
Yeah, that movie theater you go to. We went to go see her there, and I was like, how many freaking trailers? It was like 12.
I love trailers, though.
I do, too, but after a while, it's like, start the fucking movie already. And then her stunk. God.
But yeah, he gets his wings.
Which was cool. I thought that I really liked the way they looked.
Oh, and they throw that guy off the roof. They figure out one of the Hydra agents. Agent Sitwell.
Who I think is in one of the one sheets, if I believe.
Okay.
I remember
one
watching
shots?
That. Yeah, I was watching that that Marvel special that was on a couple weeks ago on ABC before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in one of the one shots, and I remembered his face, and I remember hearing the name. So I think that's what he was in. I don't remember which movie it was, like one of the extras on, but he's a recurring character anyway from the cinematic universe.
When she kicks him off the roof, I was like, they just killed that guy.
Yeah, I couldn't believe they did that. I was like, whoa.
Because the body count's so high at this point. They've killed so many people.
Cold-blooded, too. I don't care. You get the information. I mean, he was telling you what you wanted to hear anyway.
No,
and
he wasn't.
Like, bam. Well, he told him after the Falcon came. And
then here comes the Falcon. That's the first really scene you see of his wings and everything. And you're like.
It was pretty cool.
You're like, okay.
I liked Anthony Mackie. I'm not a big fan of his normally.
Outside. Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah. And I seen him do a couple of interviews. And I was like, he's kind of a jerk. But okay. I really enjoyed him. And I enjoyed the character. I don't know if we're going to see him again. And
we'll see him in Cap 3.
Really? Because he said he hasn't signed on to do anything else.
I think he'll be back.
He was really good.
What else are you going to do?
I really liked the Falcon. I enjoyed the character. I liked the dynamic between the two of them. It was mm-hmm. it was cool.
They're both soldiers, so they got along in a weird cool way.
Well, there's that brotherhood. So,
between soldiers.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I dug the Falcon. So, yeah, they get the guy.
They get the guy.
Off the roof.
And this is the first time you hear about Project Insight.
What it really is about. Because you hear Nick Fury talks to Cap about it earlier in the film.
So it's three helicarriers are placed throughout the U.S. And it's able of killing millions of people simultaneously.
It's basically a holocaust. Like, I felt like I wanted to say to Kristen, like, that's what it is, but they're not really.
They're not saying.
Yeah, it's just mass genocide. It's like we're going to kill, 3 million people one shot.
The cool thing about this is they were able to figure out by people's history how likely they were to turn against S.H.I.E.L.D. or be insubordinate towards their people. So, and in this, you hear another Easter egg because he's naming off the people that they've killed.
I caught this one.
You caught this one?
I did.
And he says, him, Bruce Banner,
Stephen Strange. Yep, I went, that's Doctor Strange.
And that means that soon in our universe, there is for sure going to be Doctor Strange.
Well, they've been teasing it, but they don't have...
It's not
on the slate for, like, Phase 3 or 4 yet.
Correct. It's not official, I wouldn't say.
It's been talked
about and announced.
You might as well chalk it up as official now after hearing it. You know, they mentioned him by name. It wasn't just, like, some strange doctor, you know what I mean, where it's like, I think it's him. They said his name.
They said Stephen Strange. And that's when they're at the end... Well, I'm skipping ahead a little bit here. But at the end, when Insight's finally, like, aiming on people, and they show the Stark Tower.
Yeah.
You saw that? Mm-hmm. I was trying to read the little names, because I'm like, there's got to be at least one more in there.
There's probably a lot more that we're missing. If we go online, I bet you I can go to IMDb right now, and I bet you they'll have a whole bunch of stuff. IMDb is, like, phenomenal. I got my 4G is on. But I caught the Stephen Strange. That was the only one that I caught off the top of my head yesterday. I don't really know.
And then that leads into another fight with the Winter Soldier, because right after that they try to take down.
That was the fight. Well, yeah, because then they get in the car and.
Oh, okay.
The Falcon's driving, and all of a sudden the Winter Soldier just falls on top of the roof of the car.
Yeah.
Rips the fucking steering wheel out of the steering column, which was so cool.
Yeah, that leads to another. Yeah, okay.
A lot of really cool visuals.
And then that leads to them. I mean,
well, that leads to the big reveal.
Oh yeah, that is.
That's
where
the big reveal
where
the mask comes off and he says Bucky.
And he says, "Who's Bucky?"
Yeah. And then, which they leads get... to they have a bit of a scrum, and Bucky ends up going back. Getting back to the Soviets, I guess, or to Hydra anyway.
Yeah, it's Hydra. Alexander Pierce.
Alexander Pierce, and he starts kind of remembering a little bit. I don't remember if he said he knew me or I knew him. And Alexander Pierce basically says, "Wipe his brain and reboot him, start it all over again." And poor Bucky, he knew, the way he opened his mouth and they put that mouthpiece in, he knew. He's like, "Just fucking give it to me. I've done it already." And they wipe his memory again, and he doesn't remember. Whatever he did remember is totally gone at this point.
Are you looking up IMDb now?
Yeah, it's just the Falcon's flight gear sports a Stark Industries logo. I don't know if you noticed that. There's a whole bunch of, there's a bunch of stuff that I need to, like, read.
Okay.
But, so where are we? Alexander Pierce. But every time Kobe Smulders came on, I kept going, Scherbatsky! Robin! I think I yelled Robin Sparkles once. But she had, I think she had a bigger.
And then did she go to the mall? I mean, they're at the mall.
No, she didn't go to the mall. Let's go to the mall. Hey, Tori. Hey, Jessica. Today. Sandcastles in the Dark or something was the other story.
Sandcastles in the Sand. Okay, that's our How I Met Your Mother spinoff.
I heard, did you watch the finale?
Yes, I did.
Was it good?
No.
Really?
We'll talk about that then, afterwards.
I'm still a season behind.
Okay.
But, yeah, so but, he... shut up. So,
next time you say Captain America, I'm going to go, Captain America?
That's one of my favorite gags in that show. Alexander Pierce wipes Bucky's memory. Where do we go from there?
This is when, they get captured. Maria Hill's character comes back and rescues them in the car.
Yes.
This is where they use that fucking thing where they cut through anything.
Yeah, they use it again.
They use that gag again, and they get away. They go and they find out that Nick Fury's not really dead.
Yes, they see that. That's the reveal. What took you so long?
Yeah. So then they tell them that they'll have to go to these ships and they'll have to replace these chips.
So that it wouldn't triangulate, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they basically give them their mission.
Start Act 3 now.
Start Act 3. Falcon, again, an ass-kicking scene.
Incredible.
Of Captain America just taking over this helideck. Falcon doing, just outrunning these gunships. Like,
that was really cool. And I liked, one of my favorite shots was when Alexander Pierce was watching out of his window, and all he saw was the black smoke of these little things going off, and then you saw the Falcon all over the place. It's really cool. The Falcon was good. The Falcon was really, really good. Pleasant surprise for me, anyway.
Great addition to the Marvel world.
And so they, the first two, bam, goes off without a hitch. They get the two cards where they need to go, and then third helicarrier
Winter Soldier,
the final showdown, so to speak, with Bucky and the Winter Soldier.
Fucking kicks Captain America off the edge. You think he's a goner.
Yep. Rips, Falcon rips goes, off the Falcon's wings.
Falcon goes to rescue Captain, and Winter Soldier just rips off one of his wings.
Get over here.
Sends him into a spiral from hell. Falls to the earth. Falcon has to ditch his other wing just to gain control. Shoots his parachute. He's grounded.
Just at the right time, too.
Well, obviously, yeah. It's a movie. Just
you never know.
Second left. You get into... Captain's alive. He gets back on the ship. Mm-hmm. He gets down to where he needs to be. Winter Soldier. Third fight. Third and final fight. What I loved about this fight is they actually did... Usually, it's a fight, and then at the end, you know, he'll get to where he needs to go. But he was trying, and as a viewer, I'm always like, just fucking, you have enough time. Just go, like, do something.
Yeah.
And he did it, like, a little bit at a time, which you don't see, and I enjoyed.
It wasn't all or nothing. I'm going to fight you off for a second, and when you're down, I'm going to turn around and do one thing, and then fight you, keep you off at bay, and then turn back around. And
he pulls the card out, and that's finally when Winter Soldier, like, pulls him over the edge, and that's when, like, the real climactic moment starts happening. And, yeah, that was an amazing fight.
He gets shot. Or he gets stabbed.
He gets probably stabbed in the fight.
He gets something through the stomach.
And then he takes out Winter Soldier.
Well, that big beam falls on the Winter Soldier.
You're getting ahead of yourself here. There's a giant fight.
Yes.
He takes out the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
And then he goes up, he puts the card in. He fights the Winter Soldier. He starts climbing up to put the card in. Winter Soldier's just shooting him.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he lifts his arm up to climb another shot. Does this, shot. So he's bleeding. He finally gets up there. He puts the card in. The helicarrier starts firing on itself. Looks down. Winter Soldier's trapped under the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what does Captain America do? He climbs down.
Saves his friend.
And then Winter Soldier immediately starts pummeling him.
Oh,
And he says, "I'm not going to fight you. I'm your friend." Winter Soldier says, "You're my mission."
Yeah, and he said it a couple of times. Every time he hit him, "You're my mission. You're my mission."
And then he's like, "Well, then finish it." And then he just starts beating the hell out of him.
Well, because that was the other thing. We're friends. You know, what'd he say? To the end of time, right?
He goes, "To the end of the line. Because I'm with you till the end of the line."
That was like, and that's kind of what, that stopped it.
And when Captain America falls out of the ship, I was like, he's dead. Because in the books, Captain America does die. And Winter Soldier is the one who takes the helm.
Major spoiler alert for Cap 3, folks.
And I just, when he started falling, I was like, well, that's it.
That was unreal. That was unreal.
Also, can we talk about Falcon and Crossbones fighting?
Yes.
That was a good fight.
That guy was
good.
You
don't really see it, but then at the end, they kind of come back to
it. I dug that guy, Frank Grillo. He was in Warrior. With Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton. He trained Joel Edgerton.
Yeah, he was the coach. One of the jokes that really got me is he jumps out the window and he said, "I said 44th floor."
Yeah.
And he's like, "I'm sorry they don't put the numbers on
the outside of the building."
In
that Sam Jackson voice. The only way Sam Jackson can deliver that line. That was really funny. "Don't put the numbers on." You see, but if that was an R-rated movie, you know the F-bomb would have been out there. Mm-hmm.
So Captain America falls into the Potomac?
Sure.
Is that the... I think they said something
that sounds
about the
right.
Potomac.
I think the Potomac is in D.C.
But
meanwhile, Alexander Pierce is having a get-together, a meeting of all the heads of the World Council.
We're going back a little bit.
So, well, I think this... I feel like this is happening at the same time.
Well, it was happening at the same time as the cards.
And Scarlett Johansson... the Black Widow turns out to be in disguise as an older English woman. She takes down the guys in the council, reveals herself to Alexander Pierce, and starts uploading something to the computer, which basically is revealing all the secrets
that Hydra and Shield
of Hydra and Shield together, everything about her
to the internet, and it's trending.
And it's trending, yeah. See, that was... I'm like, why? There's no need for that. That was the little zing, the one-liners. And Alexander Pierce ends up getting shot.
Yeah, his last words are Hail Hydra.
Yeah, Hail Hydra. Gary Shandling, I thought, made a nice little cameo in this one. He was in Iron Man 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, that's a guy from Iron Man.
Yeah, which I was surprised at. And it's cool how that kind of somewhat tied in a little bit.
It's nice to tie the worlds together.
Oh, yeah.
Even with a small character like that. Okay, but so Captain America falls to Potomac. You think he's dead. Winter Soldier, you see his hand come through.
Mm-hmm.
And he leaves him on the beach alive. That's the last you see of the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Until the post credits.
And everything, I mean...
Now, the interesting part is I know there was some rumors out there about Black Widow getting her own movie.
I see.
And at the end of this movie, she's in front of a council and her talking and like that. And I'm like, I think they're going to give her own movie to talk about her past.
That was a lead-in? Like a prequel kind of deal? Or
Well, I think it's going to deal with... It might be set in the present, but it's going to deal with mostly her past. And maybe talking about that sniper incident where...
Yeah.
Winter Soldier was tied in.
Well, I feel like even in the Avengers, like, they were teasing that a little bit with her and Hawkeye. Like, there was a past there.
I got red in my ledger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I want to wipe the red out.
I feel like that was a little bit of a...
Or maybe a tease.
They're
a
making her
tease.
More of a main thing.
She's a much bigger character than I thought she was going to be after I watched Iron Man 2, I think, was the first one.
Yeah, she was in Iron Man 2. She was
And I was like, oh, like, she was good, but I didn't think she was going to be...
I just love the scene with her in the back of the car where she starts changing, and Jon Favreau's, like, looking in the mirror, and she starts swerving. Classic.
But, that's pretty... And that's pretty much the Winter Soldier. Credits start to roll.
Well, let's see. What's his cap? Oh, no. Because
they meet at the grave. That's right. They meet at Nick Fury's grave.
Nick Fury has burned everything from his past. He no longer has the eye patch.
Rips off the eye patch wearing a pair of sunglasses.
Wearing shades.
And a hoodie.
And a hoodie. And he says he's going to Europe to
If you said he was going to go to Tahiti, I would have threw my popcorn at the fucking screen. So sick of that.
Scarlett Johansson's not going with him.
It sounds like he's going to start some kind of offshoot. Or try and rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D. maybe.
Mm-hmm. He's going to do something.
Because we're going to have to do something. Ultron's coming.
Yeah, they said, you know, Captain America will return in the Age of Ultron.
And that's pretty much wrapped up
him the Falcon. Film. Yeah, I mean, that wraps up the film for a good part.
Credits roll.
And then post-credits, we open up to a subsection of Hydra. And
they have Loki's staff.
Which I was heard it's rumored to be part of the Tesseract. Another part of the
Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah. His stone in that is another one of the Infinity Gauntlet. And I was watching that, and I was like, really? Haven't we seen enough about this?
Yeah.
And then they turn the corner, and they start talking about...
The twins.
And
did you know as soon as they said that?
No.
Okay.
Because when they said the twins, and I knew they were brother and sister. I didn't know they were twins. That's the thing. If they would have said the brother and sister, I might have figured it out.
I feel like the mythology is going to change a little bit, because they're in the X-Men movie, and they're also in this movie.
Yeah. But they turn the camera, and there is Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in a cage. It looks like
in a cell.
Yeah, it looks like Quicksilver doesn't quite understand his powers yet. He's running into the wall or can't control him. Scarlet Witch is playing with
blocks.
Has
a little bit more control over.
She's. And they talk about the Age of Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
So we obviously they're exchanging the origins from mutants to miracles.
Yeah,
you know he wanted to say mute.
Oh,
it's like
yeah,
the Age of Miracles.
Son of a bitch.
So I mean they have to change it because their father's Magneto.
Uh huh. There's no way unless they do a crazy crossover.
There's no way.
But I don't see that ever happening.
The only person that would benefit is Fox. I don't understand why they won't just let it happen.
No, we'll benefit from it. Everybody will benefit from it. If you have the X-Men and the Avengers in the same fucking movie, are you kidding me? That'll make so much money. And they'll finally do the X-Men right?
Yeah, dude.
You know?
They cannot fucking make an X-Men movie.
I dug First Class. I really like...
You know
I thought that was the,
first
I know,
class.
I know. But to me, I thought that was the best X-Men movie that I've seen. But, credits continue to roll.
And then we see the second spoiler... Or spoiler. The second.
Well, it's definitely a spoiler. Well, but the post credits scene
in the film, Captain America has an exhibit at the Smithsonian talking about his history, and Bucky Barnes has its own little side exhibit talking about how he's the only Howling Commando to give his life for the country, and you see the Winter Soldier standing in the exhibit reading about himself. And you see the freaked out look on his face. Done.
That's
movie
it.
Is over.
See you in 3 years, Captain America 3.
Okay. Expectations for Captain America 3. I don't know who the larger villain's going to be, but obviously Captain America and Winter Soldier will team up.
Yeah.
To take down a villain. It's going to be Hydra of some form, mm-hmm. obviously.
I feel that that's going to be very emotional, that movie.
And then if Captain America's going
to
die...
Because I feel... I honestly think we're going to be saying goodbye to Chris Evans. He's not... I think he's signed on for 2 or 3 more films. And if that's the case, that would work right into... Because, I mean...
If he dies in The Avengers 2...
He's not. He's signed on for 2 more movies. The Avengers comes out next year.
But Thor 2 might count as one.
Yeah, no, but he was signed on for... I'm almost positive he was 3. So it was Thor 2, then The Avengers, and then Captain America 3. Because they've already greenlit Captain America 3. I believe they have a date out, too.
Yeah, I think so.
It's going to be part of Phase 3. So he has to die in that movie. He can't die in The Avengers. There has to
you
be...
You want him to die as
I movie. Want him to die in his own movie. He's a standalone movie. I think he deserves it.
And then the Winter Soldier...
And then the
movie.
Winter Soldier, Bucky will take up the helm. And there's your new... Because Sebastian Stan has signed on for 9 films.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, they know what they're doing. I read an article with Kevin Feige, and he said, we have our movies plotted out through 2028.
Yep.
So, okay.
Keep them coming.
I'm ready, yeah. 2 a year, I'm stoked with that.
No, he wants to bump it up to 3 to 4 a year.
Done. Okay. Once every quarter, I'm in. I'm so in. I'll be there with fucking bells on. But I give Captain America a solid 9 out of 10.
Yeah, it's as of right now, it will go down as my favorite comic book movie.
It was what I...
And it was because of it not being such a comic book movie.
Well, that's exactly what I said yesterday. I said, this movie, what made this good, and what I feel like makes the good DC movies good, like the Man of Steel and the Dark Knight trilogy, is that they're serious movies. These are regular movies that just so happen to have people who can do extraordinary things. Mm-hmm. That have superpowers, you know. It's more, it transcends a superhero comic book movie.
Uh-huh.
So, I guess that would wrap up the talk about Captain America the Winter Soldier.
I guess.
You know?
That was good.
Hell of a movie.
Hell of a movie. Definitely go see it.
Yeah, totally recommended by the big screen,
small
talk crew.
I don't care how much. I would have paid double as much to see that in theaters.
I would have liked to have seen it in IMAX.
And I will see it again.
Yeah.
Is it in IMAX?
It is in IMAX, yeah. IMAX 3D.
What the fuck are we doing here?
I don't know. Doing a stupid show. Entertaining 80 people.
80?
So,
we have 80 views.
80 views.
What?
So just to wrap it up again, we just want to, again, thank everybody who listened to the first one. Hope you enjoy this one. And
remember to subscribe to our channel.
Subscribe
on
to the
YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at @BSSTPodcast or twitter.com/BSSTPodcast.
And check out our Facebook page. Like us.
Mm-hmm.
And
Facebook.com/BigScreenSmallTalk.
There you go. I don't have that stuff memorized yet. All I know is the name. I almost got that wrong earlier.
You got to get on it.
So, yeah, we hope you enjoy. And I'm Anthony Mottola.
I'm Ryan Waltz. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, take it easy.